Are you ready to stop shrinking to fit into someone else's version of success? Welcome to Illuminate Your Worth, the podcast that helps you remember who you are and reclaim your life. Hosted by transformation facilitator Heather Stewart, this is your space for soulful conversations, coaching insights, and reminders that you're not here to settle. You're here to shine. Now let's dive in.
Hello, my friend. I hope you're having a super extending day. I'm going to say Happy New Year, and I'm probably going to say it until I get tired of saying it or someone says I'm not allowed to say it anymore. But I feel like I can still say it. Happy New Year! And we just came out of the holiday season. Whatever holiday you celebrate, you know. I have friends who celebrate Hanukkah and Festivus and Christmas, and I can't remember all the names of the other ones, but whatever, it's just like they're all packed into this one time of year, you know. It's like we're gonna pack all the holidays in the same time of year, so everybody's stressed out at the same time. And I can remember this, like, over the years, when you're a little kid, you love getting presents, don't you? You love getting presents. Yay, the surprises and things. And then when you get older, just banged the microphone. You get into that same habit of presents, and you can fall into the habit of today's topic, which is the trap of overgiving. It's not all to do with Christmas and presents or any of those things, but it popped into my head as we were traveling through the holiday season, overgiving and all of the forms that it takes. I am Heather. Before I forget to tell you, I am Heather. This is Illuminate Your Worth, and we are on the Inspired Choices Network, and you are always welcome to come to the chat room. Today, my little angel is Danielle in the background, and keeping me honest and sane-ish. And we're going to talk about this overgiving. Are we doing it to earn belonging? Are we doing it to, you know, get recognition for something? Are you twisting yourself up into giving stuff or energy that you think that you should be giving when it's really not in your best good? So the dust has settled. The wrapping paper has been recycled. The chaos is all hopefully put away from your year, depending on when you're listening to this. But what if resting and is kind of like you thinking it as taking something away from someone else? What? Resting, as if it's stealing from someone by you taking time for yourself. That's because that would be a gift for you. And I think that even you can overgive to yourself. Yes, you can overgive to yourself a little bit. It's like a pendulum. You don't give yourself enough, you give yourself too much. You don't give yourself enough, you give yourself too much. Somewhere in the middle is this beautiful place where you can give and you can receive. And it feels so much better. So if you are someone who feels bad, if you're not somehow giving time, energy, anything to someone else, like, and you feel guilty for not doing that, then let's talk about that, shall we? We're going to talk about this overgiving to earn belonging. And it's an interesting kind of reflex that happens. And I notice it, I guess, because at Christmas time, you know, we have people we want to give gifts to and that we want to take, give recognition to and do things for. And how much is enough, right? I'm not saying don't do things for people. Don't be nice and share and be kind and give presents. But how much is enough? So I noticed it because when I was buying presents for my husband, and we have our favorite thing is the stockings, I was looking at the stocking going, I might have bought too much stuff. You know, it seems to be overflowing. And then I had to kind of check with myself, like, why did I feel like I had to make this overflow? Where was this to feel abundant? Was this what was this for? I didn't have an answer for it, by the way. It was just an observation. So, ways that we overgive. And this isn't to give you a hard time, right? We've been trained, especially as women. If you identify as female, you've been pretty much trained to give. You give birth to the children, you take care of the house. It has shifted a lot over the years, but we have been trained to always be available, to always be the strong one, to always know what to do next. You fall down, you go to mom. You have a crisis, you go to mom. All of these things. And it may be a little of a bit of control thing that starts to happen to us, that we start to believe a narrative that if we aren't the ones taking care of it, then no one's going to do it and chaos will ensue. The world will just fall to pieces if we aren't taking care of everything and holding it all together. Of course, it's an illusion, right? It's an illusion that you can control what's going on. It's an illusion, love you to death, but it's an illusion that you're the only person who can take care of things. It's an illusion that the world will fall apart without you. And that's not to say that you're not important, because those aren't mutually exclusive. Sometimes when we say something, and this is where a lot of, I think, misunderstandings come from in the world. If you're a Star Wars fan at all, the Sith deals in absolutes. If this is a thing, then this, the opposite has to be the true. No. The world won't fall apart if you take a rest, that doesn't mean that you're not important. That doesn't mean that at all. If you take something for yourself, like rest or time or anything, that doesn't mean you're stealing it from someone else. It's not an either or. Let's have an and world. Let's have a world where it's like, I can rest and I can also be available for my friends and family. And I can accept, when they want to help me, and I can help them both. I have a friend who is going in for surgery, and love you, by the way, if you're listening, because you'll know who it is. You'll recognize yourself. And she asked if I could pick her up in the hospital when she gets out. And I thought, well, of course, absolutely, I'm going to pick you up at the hospital. Look, that's not even something, like, don't even, because she was hesitating to ask me. I was like, do not hesitate. Of course, I will pick you up. I will take you home. I will stay overnight to make sure that you're okay, and to make sure that in the next morning that, something, you haven't crashed or something. But she was hesitating and trying to give me a way to say no. What is so hard about asking for someone to help you when you need it? This is not to make, again, I'm going to keep saying it, it's not to make you feel bad. You can't change something if you're not aware of it, right? So what I said to my friend was, if I phoned you and asked you to help me because I was coming out of the hospital, or anything, if I phoned you to ask you to help me for anything, what would you say? And she said, of course I would. I'd be very happy to. I said, then why won't you let me help you without guilt? Yes, Danielle, it is hard to ask people for help. That was one of my, what I learned from falling down episode. The universe said she's still not asking for enough help. Let's knock her over and break her wrist so she has to ask. They're so kind that way, So, if rest makes you feel guilty, do you feel safer? Thanks, universe. You're the best. Do you feel safer taking care of everyone else than letting people take care of you? Is it because you think they're going to let you down? Wow. Just a lot of wow right there. Or what is it about our wanting for help, but this fear for asking for it? Is it, do, will we feel, will we appear weak? Yes, we don't want to be a burden, definitely. We feel like, I don't want to inconvenience people. Well, You can't make that decision for them. They get to decide if it's an inconvenience. I want everyone to get to the place where, because I know that this would be a spectacular place. If you asked me to help you and I couldn't, I could say no to you for whatever reason. Like maybe I'm exhausted because I'm working two jobs, or maybe there's just something going on and I can't. I can say no to you. You're not going to feel bad, and I'm not going to feel bad. And you'll still ask me again someday if you need help, and I'm going to absolutely say yes if it's in the realm of possibility, right? There doesn't have to be this uneasiness, this discomfort of the yeses and the nos, and the am I bothering them? You're allowed to take up space in the world. This is one of the things that I've been working on. I have it written down in one of my books somewhere. You're allowed to take up space. Remember the you don't have to, shrink to fit in. You don't have to dim your light to fit in. There is enough room for everyone. There's plenty of space for everyone. And you are allowed to take up space. You are allowed to ask for you what you need. And this might take you a little bit of practice, right? And I'm not going to tell you who to be, my friend. I'm not going to tell you who to be or how to be, but I am going to remind you that you can find what you need. You can get what you need, and you can take up space, and you can get help from others, and they can help you. How amazing is that? And without overdoing anything. So what does overgiving, what's it going to look like in your life? I mean, I've given a couple examples, but there's tons of ways. Sometimes it's sneaky, right? It's not necessarily about buying too many presents to stick in the Christmas stocking. Because really, the problem was that I started in June and I forgot the things that I bought because I just like to buy funny things. But there's different ways that it's going to show up for you. So, if you have a job, if you have work and you're that person that everyone always goes to, because one of the mantras in when I was in management was, oh, give it to someone who's busy because they're going to get it done. And it just meant that they were the person who didn't know how to say no and would kill themselves to get it done. It didn't mean the people who weren't busy wouldn't do get it done. But they might, take their time. They might not get it done fast. They might not be stressed out getting it done. There's something about being stressed out at the office. It's like a badge of honor. So if you say yes to extra projects and take on helping other people and mentoring people and, doing all these extra projects. Oh, I have a friend who she totally does that in the work that she does. She takes on extra projects. She trains new people because she's one of the experts in the office for some things, and she overdoes it, and she pays for it later. So, if you're already maxed out, taking on extra projects, that's an overgiving. The holidays. Are you the family therapist? Are you the person who has to make sure that everybody's happy, that everybody is, got what they need, that these two people are, oh my God, this is me. People aren't talking, so I have to talk to each of them to explain to them why it's important that they still talk to each other because it's family, blah, blah, blah. This is one of the ways that I present my overgiving therapist at my family dinners. Are you the person who has to remembers everybody's birthdays and appointments and the crises? Do you have the calendar of this? I know all these people's birthdays. I got your mom's Christmas card and birthday card and anniversary card. I got the present for little Susie down the street because you're going to her birthday party. Like, are you the person who has to keep it all together? Imagine if people had to be responsible for their own stuff. Imagine that. Whoa, what a place. What a place. I've got a few more for you. Don't go away, my friend. I'm just getting wound up, as you can tell. We're going to go to our first break. So This is Heather here talking to you on Illuminate Your Worth. We're talking about the trap of overgiving. We're on the Inspired Choices Network. While we're on our break, you could give me a gift. It would not be overgiving. If you went over to your favorite podcast platform and popped me a little five-star review, my friend. But don't forget to come back. We will see you in just a moment.
What if your too much was actually your superpower? On Illuminate Your Worth, Heather Stewart guides you back to your truth with coaching, mindset shifts, and powerful conversations designed to light up every corner of your life, from career and creativity to wellness and worth. Tune in weekly and discover how to stop surviving and start thriving on your own terms. Listen to Illuminate Your Worth with Heather Stewart on the Inspired Choices Network and wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you a subject matter expert? Are you here to share your expertise with an audience waiting to hear from you in only the way you can deliver? Are you ready to have your voice amplified across the airwaves? Inspired Choices Network has a global radio platform streaming to millions of people across the world. Professionally produced and supported by an accomplished team every step of the way, you can broadcast from anywhere in the world, knowing your voice matters, and we ensure it is delivered with ease and efficiency. Eager to hear your message, the world awaits. Contact us today to become an Inspired Choices Network radio host. Email becomeahost@inspiredchoicesnetwork.com.
You're listening to Illuminate Your Worth with Heather Stewart. Want to connect live during the show? Join the studio audience in the chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also send questions or coaching requests to info@heatherstewart.coach. Let's get back to today's episode and your path to a thriving life.
Today's episode, dun, 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 the trap of overgiving. I feel like you should have like the Bob Marley voice with that, or the, was it Bob Marley? No. Marley's ghost, you know, from Scrooge. Anyway, this is Illuminate Your Worth. We're on the Inspired Choices Network. Did you go give the gift of five-star review? I'm always open for gifts, friends. And I have some interesting news before I forget to tell you, because it could happen that I forget to tell you. My book is about to hit the streets, and it's called Illuminate Your Worth. It's based on the podcast. It's based on the wisdom that I try to impart, or the thoughts. Woohoo, book. Yes, it's the launch party is on the 29th of January. You can pop over to my website. It's actually right at the top of my website. You can just click through to get notified. Just click to get notified of when it's available. It's a very quick but long read, if that makes sense. I had an email from a client who I sent out an advanced copy to, and I haven't actually talked to her in about a year or so. And she sent me this message back. First of all, she loved it, which it's funny that I'm like, really? We do downplay ourselves. We do downplay ourselves. But she said she binge read it in one sitting because it was so good. And she said it was like this perfect gift in her inbox. And there's our and. She's going back to read it again and take her time. She wanted to read it and then go back. I was like, okay, that's awesome. So it's a quick, slow read, slow, quick read. It's a create your own adventure read. It's a find your way through at your own pace. And the intention of it is the same as the intention of this podcast, to turn on the lights so that you see something you didn't see, contemplate something you hadn't thought of before. Because for something to change, the first thing you have to do is become aware of it. Awareness. I was speaking with a friend of mine recently I came up with the acronym ADD. We need ADD. Awareness, decide, and do. So you have to be aware of it. You got to make a decision if you're going to change it. And then you got to do something, right? So what are you going to do about overgiving? There's other ways to do it. So We were going through the ways that what it can look like. So saying yes when really you want to say no. The sacred no. No is a sacred word. No is a magic word. No is a word that creates beautiful space in your life and allows you to choose only the things that align for you. You don't have to fix everyone. You don't, because you're not going to. Take my word for it. You can't fix everyone. There's no one to fix. Everybody's dealing with their own stuff. Everybody's doing their own stuff. So there's no fixing. And can you be in a space where someone is going to be the way they are? Let them be the way they are and still not affect your inner awesome, right? And you don't have to be the person who tries to hold it all together. So if you're saying you can't rest because it's selfish, if you're saying you can't stop because it'll fall apart, if you feel guilty when you try to relax, if you're on high alert all the time, like always on call. So when you sit down, can you actually relax when you sit down and do it without a glass of wine in your hand? You know, it's not that these things aren't, the things you're looking after are important. I'm sure they are. You wouldn't want to do them. But let's look at when you're doing more than you have to, or doing stuff you don't have to, or doing stuff that somebody else maybe could be doing. So if you feel like you try and then you fall off and it comes and it goes, you're not inconsistent. You're not lazy. It's just you're trying to organize your life around everybody else, right? You're trying to squeeze your life into the little spaces you have left over after you take care of everything and everyone else. That's not enough space. I remember this, I think it was an article or a research study where they had asked people, you know, to rank the important things in their life. And I've mentioned this before where it was, you know, women especially, you know, they put their kids first and then their husband, surprisingly, then the pets. Job was in there somewhere and they were always last. So how can there be any room for you if you put yourself last? Because all those things are very demanding in and of themselves. You should be first. And then you can decide the order of importance after that. If you're not first, no one else is going to put you first either, right? No one else can put you first but you, in a way that will fully support you. Even if someone does love you to death and wants to do everything for you, they don't have the insider knowledge of what you really need for support. So overgive. So the cost of overgiving, you know, some people I know, it's like that's their jam. They just want to be able to be giving to the world, heart open, shower the world with love, which is a good thing. Shower some of it back on yourself, because there is a cost to overgiving. So health-wise, you could burn out. Stress. I have a friend who ended up in the hospital, and it wasn't what it was. Like, they thought she was just having stress problems. She actually had something else wrong with her. But because she was so stressed, I think stress was contributing to it. And at first they thought it was stress that was caused her to be there. But some stress is important. When you lift weights, you are stressing the muscles to help them grow. But if you overlift, you damage the muscles and you get injured and then you can't lift anything. So stress, little stress, good. Big stress, bad. Burnout. Maybe you can't sleep. Maybe you lie in bed going, oh, did I remember to send that card? Oh my God, I forgot to make an appointment. Blah. And it can go on and on and on and on. And eventually you fall asleep and then you're just doing all the plans while you're asleep, right? But if you, I think it's next week, listen to next week where I go on and on about sleep. It's okay. Not on and on in a boring way, in a very entertaining way. So your health can be affected. Your relationships can be affected. You know, if you are constantly the overgiver, at some point you are going to need something and you think that people should just recognize it. Perhaps this is you. You might think that people should just recognize that you need it and step in. But if you haven't ever asked for help, if you ever haven't articulated, if you've never been the person who needed help, how are they going to recognize that you need something, right? You might feel like you're just unseen, that people are just taking from you. And you might just attract people who are takers, right? Because you're like, oh, there's an overgiver. I want to take, so I'm going to come in and have fun with this overgiver. It's not a conscious thing. It's a subconscious thing. But if you're constantly giving, then you're going to attract people who are going to keep taking. And, you know, these are parts of my six-part thriving life method. You know, we want our health to be happy. We want our emotions to be happy. We want our relationships to be good. We don't want to overwork at work. You know, we want to work what we need to work at work, not overworking. And you think about your poor little spirit. Now, spirits, yeah, I know, they don't ever actually get tired. But you might feel, because you're so fatigued, you can't connect with your purpose, your joy. What does joy feel like? Can you remember what it's like just to be relaxed and happy, or you weren't on vacation? And some people can't even relax on vacation. When I worked in corporate, the senior vice president that I worked for, she was lovely. I still like her very much. She was one of my best bosses. But when she went away on family vacations, she would never even go a day without checking her emails. And I tried to say to her, stop checking your emails, you're on vacation. But she felt like she couldn't. Part of it was her boss, right? So set up your boundaries. I'm on vacation. I'm away. You cannot reach me. And somewhere inside, you might hear the quiet voice in the background that's saying, if you stop holding it all together, will that make people think that you're the problem? Right? So if something does fall apart, maybe it's time that it falls apart. Do you feel like it'll be your fault if something stops working, if you stop doing everything? It's not your fault. You're not responsible for everything. You don't have to hold up the whole world. Some days it feels like it, but I'm going to invite you to put some of that down. Put that down. You don't need to carry it all. You're not the problem. The pattern is the problem. The pattern is the thing that can change so that you feel lighter because you don't have to carry it all. You can share the list, the to-dos, the control, the giving and taking, giving and taking. So I don't know if you've heard the word INI. INI, I believe it's spelled. And it's the sacred rule of reciprocity. So think of your heart or even breath. If you breathe in and hold your breath, it's going to become uncomfortable. You're like, I'm just breathing in. I don't need to breathe out. I'm just going to keep breathing in. At some point, you're going to pass out. Or if you just exhale, overgiving, 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 and you get to the end of the exhale, you're like, I can't breathe in. I can't take back. You're going to pass out. There has to be an inhale and an exhale. So that's a giving and a receiving, a giving and receiving. Your heart blood comes in and goes out, comes in and goes out. There needs to be a circulation. There needs to be this movement for a healthy body. So if you think of your body as a microcosm reflected of the macrocosm of everything is energy, the energy of giving and receiving, you need to receive and to give. So that circulation of energy is the healthiest. Because we know, you know, if you've ever sat cross-legged for any length of time and your foot falls asleep, you're like, oh gosh, blood was not circulating through my foot and now it's super uncomfortable. So think about the energy of giving and receiving. Sorry, little friends. giving and receiving. As I'm waving my hands around, I keep banging into things. You need that energy to be circulating. Otherwise, you might feel like your foot's gone to sleep, but it's your energy that's gone to sleep. We've got another break we've got to go into, my friends. No worries. I'm not going anywhere. We got some more things to do. Why we learned it, how to break the pattern, right? That's what we want to do. We're just repatterning. We are changing our software. I am Heather. This is Illuminate Your Worth. We're talking about the trap of overgiving and how to bust out on the Inspired Choices Network. I'll see you in just a moment.
What if your too much was actually your superpower? On Illuminate Your Worth, Heather Stewart guides you back to your truth with coaching, mindset shifts, and powerful conversations designed to light up every corner of your life, from career and creativity to wellness and worth. Tune in weekly and discover how to stop surviving and start thriving on your own terms. Listen to Illuminate Your Worth with Heather Stewart on the Inspired Choices Network and wherever you get your podcasts.
How wonderful would it be to carry your favorite Inspired Choices Network host with you throughout your day? Well, now you can. Inspired Choices Network now has its very own mobile app. Our free app offers live streaming shows, along with thousands of podcasts and TV episodes. Our shows cover a wide variety of topics. Whether you're waking up with us, carrying us through the day, and taking us to bed with you, we're always here for you to enjoy. We're easy to find. Just search for Inspired Choices Network in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
You're listening to Illuminate Your Worth with Heather Stewart. Want to connect live during the show? Join the studio audience in the chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also send questions or coaching requests to info@heatherstewart.coach. Let's get back to today's episode and your path to a thriving life.
Did you catch that email, my friend? Info, easy. It's actually just me. I didn't want to put heather@heatherstewart.coach. It seemed redundant. So I put info@heatherstewart.coach, but it is just me over here answering the emails, checking in to see how everybody's doing. And over on my website, by the way, you can sign up for the alignment audit, alignment activation now. And that's the 1 hour or more, depends on how long we take, with me going through what's going on with you. In a very systematic, succinct way, but in a way that's going to find these patterns where you're tripping yourself up, where you are getting yourself kind of, you're not stuck, but you just can't see what obstacles you've put in your path. So overgiving is and it's not all material. I know sometimes we go straight to the gift card aisle, but that's not necessarily what it is. So a lot of us were taught when we were young, directly or indirectly, just by, you know, example, that our worth was placed in how helpful you are. Oh, what a good girl you are. Thank you. You know, how kind you are, how accommodating you were, how low maintenance you were. I mean, think of the disparaging comments made about high maintenance women, right? Oh, she's so high maintenance. And that immediately says that she's a bad person somehow. So we work really hard to be low maintenance. I don't have any needs. I have no needs. I'm so, so accommodating. You can kick me around and I'll just be fine. That's no way to be. You learned that maybe that it was safer to manage who was in the room than to take up space in the room. Like I said, you're allowed to take up space in the room. So for me, you know, I did everything right. You know, I got the big job. I got the big title. I looked great on paper. I was very accommodating. You know, I smoothed everything out all the time. I'm a harmonizer. It's what I do. But there's instances where I've recognized that it's not my job to create harmony in some instances. Even though I feel like I want to, I stay out of it. But think about the emotional root behind this, right? There's a fear of rejection. If we are that high maintenance person who's asking for things, are we going to get rejected? Rejection is a huge fear. It's a survival instinct fear. But we don't really need it at this point. Are you going to get blamed? Are you going to get seen as selfish? Think about the word diva. Oh, she's such a diva. Think about the inflections we use on these things, high maintenance and diva, as if it's a negative thing. I'm starting to see where, yes, if they overdo it and they become takers, that's not the most beneficial. But if you're being accused of being a high maintenance or a diva because you have boundaries and you stand for yourself, then I don't think that's the same connotation. I remember my sister once putting this post up about the word bitch was babe in total control of herself. But we can see it as just a bitchy woman. Is that fair? That's not fair. And don't do that to yourself. Don't do that to yourself. So it can feel like you are fitting into this most. So when I was in corporate, I fit into the outfit. I squished myself into this outfit of the corporate executive with the pencil skirt and the pumps and the, super important self. But it felt like crap. It felt like I was trying to twist myself into some weird shape. And it wasn't healthy for me. My health wasn't great at all compared to how it is now, even though I've told you about the things that have happened to me. But because my health is so good now, I've recovered. The fear of rejection, the fear of being blamed, the fear of selfishness, these aren't things to be afraid of. The fear that if you stop overgiving, someone will leave, and that will prove that you are either too much or not enough. If they leave because you stop overgiving, were they the right person in the first place? Were they a taker and not doing the reciprocal giving and taking? That might hurt. A little heart pain, maybe. But go back to listen to the impermanence episode. It passes. It passes. I have cleaned my emotional closets a couple times through my life. And it's true, it is not pleasant when you have people who leave because you have put up a boundary for your own safety and self-worth and health. Not a boundary that stops you from giving, but a boundary that allows you to also give to yourself. And when those people leave, there is a bit of unhappiness, but it passes and the right people come, right? So think about Cinderella. Oh my goodness. I think so many problems, I think, are linked to Disney princesses. It's like we have this weird idea that Prince Charming is going to come in and save you. Save you from what? You don't need a Prince Charming to save you. Maybe, someone to ride alongside you, but save you? Really, really. So we've been sold this Cinderella story that if you're good enough and quiet enough and kind enough, someone will show up with their glass slipper and prove you belong. Prince Charming can come, but he doesn't have to save you, Danielle. I have my Prince Charming. Totally, I have a Prince Charming. And he doesn't need to save me unless I ask him to. I'm like, can you do this for me? So giving and taking, giving, yes, everybody can have their prince or princess charming that they want. The perfect person for them exists in the world somewhere, but it doesn't always come when you want it to come, right? So it's interesting. This is funny, and I didn't know this about the original Cinderella because it was so sanitized. But in the original Cinderella, the stepsisters cut their toes off to try and jam their foot into the glass slipper. What? Now, they made it nice and fun and, all of this stuff for cartoons because, yeah, Grimm's Fairy Tales, when you go back to the originals, whoa, whoa, scary McScary. So the stepsisters, think about, this glass slipper was going to prove that they were worthy of having a Prince Charming. So what were they going to do? They were willing to cut off pieces of their body to jam it into this glass slipper to belong. So are you cutting off pieces of yourself? Not literally, I hope, metaphorically, to jam into a glass slipper that isn't yours to wear, that doesn't fit, not even your color glass. Who wants to wear a glass slipper? That'd be so uncomfortable. Or a life that's not meant for you, right? Why would you try to jam yourself into a life that's not meant for you? It's not healthy for you. And there's another way to be. The glass slipper doesn't need a prince attached to it. You can just make your own slippers. I started crocheting recently. I've crocheted a couple shawls. You can make your own slippers, more comfortable too, right? It doesn't have to have a prince attached to it. You can go out and create your own wholeness, your own version of your glass slipper, your own magical life with your fairy godmother. Just talk to your intuition. I call mine higher self, to find places and people that fit who you are and want to support you, and you want to support them. Belonging isn't something you earn through exhausting yourself. Belonging isn't this thing that you do so that you can be the martyr. I said this, I can't remember if it was on this. I've talked on so many podcasts, mine and other people's. I once said, martyrs, I get it. It's like you're trying to demonstrate something, but in the end, you're just dead, right? You've worn yourself out or put yourself out there to the point where now you're dead. And how is that going to help? You are important. You are important. Belonging, you don't earn through exhaustion. Belonging is that feeling of like you can relax and exhale and still be fully yourself. You can feel safe being yourself, and people still are there to hold you and to help you and to love you and to welcome you into the space. Even if you show up on a day and you have bitchy, bitchy face, not just resting bitchy face. Some days you're going to show up and you're going to be like, I'm in a bad mood. And they're going to say, okay, you be in a bad mood. I don't know if you've seen the movie, What the Bleep Do We Know? It's quite a few years old now, like over 20 years old now. But there's a character in that movie. So there's a woman who's going through some personal transformation and discovering things about herself, and she's kind of going from crisis to crisis. And the woman living with her is a friend of hers. And the woman live with when you're living with her, when you first watch it, I love that movie. Have you seen the Down the Rabbit Hole edition? Oh my God, it's extra long and extra good. But the woman living with her, when you first see it, you might think she's such a ditz, like she's just happy go lucky, tra la la la. But really, what it is she is happy, and the other woman's bad mood. She's like, oh, I'm sorry that you're not having a good day. Okay, see you later. She's not going to fix her. She's going to let the person having the bad day work through her stuff, and she's not going to take that on. So powerful. She's one of the most powerful characters in the movie, by the way. So, oh, we got to go for another break, you guys, I think in a second, but it's okay. We got this. You don't have to bleed to keep your seat at the table, because if they are taking your blood to be in this party, it's not your table unless you're hanging out with vampires. But the undead, they're not all that fun. They're kind of pale, and maybe I should do that in the Halloween episode. You don't have to bleed to keep your seat at the table. You don't have to hang out with vampires to belong and become the undead, Yes, my mind goes everywhere. So we're coming around to creating from over giving to belonging, my friends. So we're gonna go for our last break, but don't go away. Make sure you come back. If you didn't get time yet, you've got time to pop over and give a review. Send it to someone you like too. Maybe someone you don't like. Maybe they're just having a bad day. Send them this episode. Who knows? What could happen? Anything could happen. I'm Heather. This is Illuminate Your Worth. We're on the Inspired Choices Network. Come back in a minute. I'll see you in a sec.
What if your too much was actually your superpower? On Illuminate Your Worth, Heather Stewart guides you back to your truth with coaching, mindset shifts, and powerful conversations designed to light up every corner of your life, from career and creativity to wellness and worth. Tune in weekly and discover how to stop surviving and start thriving on your own terms. Listen to Illuminate Your Worth with Heather Stewart on the Inspired Choices Network and wherever you get your podcasts. You're listening to Illuminate Your Worth with Heather Stewart. Want to connect live during the show? Join the studio audience in the chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also send questions or coaching requests to info@heatherstewart.coach. Let's get back to today's episode and your path to a thriving life.
Can you imagine what a thriving life would look like for you? And how different or far away is it from where you are now? Is it, you can't even imagine it? Or is it super close, wherever you are? I don't think I'll ever get to the end because I can always imagine more. It's interesting. So we are talking about overgiving, but I just have a brief side story for you. So my book is coming out on the 29th of January, and I did this process on December the 24th. I wrote out 13 wishes on 13 pieces of paper, and I folded them all up. They were all exactly the same. And every night I burned one of them without looking at it, didn't look at it till there's only one left. And I opened it up to see what it was, because it was like a way of using my subconscious to decide what to focus on for the year. And it was actually about my book, and it was about it becoming a bestseller. And I was speaking with a mastermind group that I'm in earlier, and I said to them, that wouldn't have even occurred to me 2 years ago, 3 years ago. It would not have occurred to me at all that I was going to write a book and that I was going to work to become what this well-known for this book and to go on stages and speak about it. So the thriving life that you can imagine right now as your future, that doesn't mean it stops when you get there, because I think the universe has even more in store for you. Things you can't even imagine. I never even wouldn't have even dreamed that one up, but there it is. I'm like, wow. So now that it's in my head, I'm like, I'm working towards that one, and I see where the next step is on the path, because all of it is moving towards this thriving more, 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 more. It's not greedy to want more. It's not greedy to want more life. More energy, more thriving, more joy, more peace, more love. That's not greed. We have put into the bucket, like we've put everything into the greedy bucket. Everything goes into the greedy bucket. But I don't agree. I don't agree. Yes, there are places in life where greed can cause problems, but more joy and more love is not one of them. So not too long ago, I did the Create Your Village episode, right? So if you go from overgiving to belonging, one of the practical starting points is to ensure that the circle that you have around you is supporting you. The circle of people does not require you to constantly give. The circle around you has exchange. Now, there could be highs and lows between people. You know, sometimes you're giving, sometimes they're giving. Friends, mentors, support, office people, your baristas, sometimes they give you an extra shot of something in your coffee. It's like, and yes, paying for support does count, by the way. That is part of your village. I pay for my coaches. I have more than one. It is not wrong to look for help out in the world that you don't have to become best friends with. Right. I have been for, I remember, and I think it's a generational thing, when I told my mother that I was in therapy, this was, 15, 20, 15 years ago. And she said, "Why are you in therapy? Why don't you just like talk to somebody?" I'm like, "I am talking to someone." But it's someone who doesn't have an agenda or know anything about me, who can give me a perspective, who can be outside of it and ask me questions of things that I haven't thought of. And they're not trying to fix me. They're just listening and holding space. That's all I needed, right? So whatever you decide to put in your village, you want it to be something that is a reciprocal giving and taking, and takes you forward the way you are, giving you space to be who you are. So this week, my friend, I know that's only, I only want to give you one thing to do because you got enough to do if you're an overgiver, right? If you're an overgiver, you're like, "Heather, do not give me another thing to do, but I'll do it because you're telling me to." No, I want you to try this. One micro no. So something you usually say yes to, see if you can gently say no and not be a terrible person, or not feel like, because you're not a terrible person, not feel like you're a terrible person. If you get invited to something and you're like, "I just want to stay home," stay home. Say, "I'd really like to, but no, thank you." You don't have to tell them why. You don't have to make an excuse. Or if you can't say no, find one place where you're tired of proving that you are good enough. Where are you trying to prove that you belong? I have a good friend who is a steam fitter in oil refineries, and she's a woman. So imagine how much. Now she's been doing it long enough now, and she's good enough for a job now. She's not trying to prove herself anymore. But imagine that kind of energy of trying to prove that you are good enough to be in that place. She was already good enough. Even in the corporate world, still to some extent, women still feel like they have to prove. They work harder because they have to prove that they deserve a place at the table. When I say, "Screw you and your table. I don't need to prove anything. We deserve to be here because this is what we want to do or not to," right? So practice not having to prove anything to anyone and understanding that you're already good enough. So you are allowed to be supported. You are allowed to be tired. Yes, you are allowed to be tired. And you're allowed to build a life where you are not the safety net for everyone and everything, right? So we're coming to the end of the show. I can't believe it. What? So if you feel like this was you, because I know it is a lot of us, I don't want to sound like I'm crawling around inside your head and reading your emails, because I'm not, but you are definitely not alone in any of this. So if you do want someone to talk to just hold space for you, go over to my website. Have it take an hour with me. It's free. Have a conversation with me. I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm going to hold space. We're going to figure out what your patterns are and find a way for you to move into a space that's more free and light and happy and joyful. That's all I want for you. Free, light, happy, joy. My year word for 2026 is joy. Love you. See you next time.
Thank you for tuning into Illuminate Your Worth. Heather Stewart will be back next week to help you shift your mindset, reclaim your joy, and build a life that fits you. Catch the next episode on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern, 12 p.m. Central, 11 a.m. Mountain, and 10 a.m. Pacific. Until then, take one inspired step today and keep shining.